Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's show. It's really good. We've also got a colleague with us, Adam, who's going to be here with us this evening. So hopefully he's going to say hi right here, right now.
Hello, good evening.
So that's Adam, and obviously Matthew's here as well. So handing over to Matthew to say hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening to in the world. It's good to be back. Really looking forward to tonight's show.
So that's great. Ready. Yeah, are we ready? 100% ready. So what we're talking about this evening, when I was actually looking at the copy to actually write for the show, was looking at that metaphor of your emotional bank account. You know, are you in the black or are you in the red? You know, much like a financial bank account, it's something, you know, we make deposits into or withdrawals from. And, you know, actions such as seeking first to understand, be kind, being making and keeping promises, being loyal to the absent friends increases the balance of trust. You know, obviously being unkind, breaking promises or gossiping about someone who's absent decreases or even bankrupts the trust in a relationship. So, you know, this week, that's what we're going to be talking about and bringing in some real life scenarios of how we've managed to make decent deposits into our own emotional bank account, and also being in the lucky phase of being absolutely being able to make withdrawals from it when we need. So again, I'm just going to hand it over to the guys to have a little bit of a chat about this. Again, talking from your own experiences, you know, how have you found your emotional bank account? Maybe talking to Adam first, because he's sitting there probably thinking, oh, what have I got to say?
yeah, something like that. yeah, it's, you know, it's, I mean, it's one that takes sort of real thought, really. Initially, when I first sort of started out, yeah, I was well in the red, and you know, there was the bailiffs knocking on the door, so to speak. And I think it is really important that, you know, you do have to consider this. You do have to consider your emotions and where you're at with them and what's going on, you know, for you at that time. You know, we.
I think it's really difficult, isn't it, Adam? Really, it's you know, and you feel like you've just been put on the spot right here, right now. So I'm sure you're probably making intense withdrawals from your emotional bank account right here, right now, because you're suddenly put on the spot, and it's like, you know, the withdrawals that we make, we can only make withdrawals from an emotional bank account when it's in the black. We can't necessarily do it when it's already in the red. So unless you're actually investing some time to put healthy deposits into your emotional bank account, i.e. take, you know, good self-care, taking care of your, you know, your desires, i.e. are you actually living a life that you're, you know, you're comfortable with, or are you stressed stressed plus plus plus, and finding that actually there's not, you don't feel like you've got many emotional resources. And it's usually when we're feeling, again going back to being okay, which is overwhelmed and knackered. And knackered in the UK means just so tired you don't know where the energy is to take the next step. And when you're feeling that way, then you don't have much of a resource. So your bank account is not necessarily in the black and healthy. And therefore, you feel that you can't make many withdrawals from it. And, when we are in that state, it's really important to realise that maybe we just need to take some time out. Maybe go for a nice walk in nature, maybe doing, I know, Adam, you love fishing and you're a real fisherman, for want of another way of putting it. So, when you go fishing, you are depositing huge amounts of resources from being in nature and relaxing and doing a hobby that you enjoy. And, just talk to me about fishing for a few minutes. It's one of those things that maybe I don't know much about.
Yeah. But it is, like you say, for getting out into nature, it gets you away from any worries or troubles that you may have. It just allows you to just chill out, recharge the batteries. But that, and in doing something that you love, you're investing that time in yourself, and sort of emotionally you've got joy and this, like the other coming up, and the excitement of when you catch a fish. And like you say, it's all sort of depositing, and almost that sort of making memories type things. And ultimately it changes the balance, and you start to feel better about yourself, because actually you're coming a little bit from the black, from the red into the black, because you are dedicating that time to just sit there and watch the world go by, look at the trees and the birds, whatever you decide to do while you're there. But for me, it is, it's about the peace of it, and just doing something that I really love, and I think that's sort of the important thing. It's making time for the things you love.
And I know, obviously, you and Matthew are great friends, so Matthew also has that experience too, and maybe you want to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I've got a really good story around it. Adam's obviously been a good friend for many years, and said to me, why didn't you come fishing, mate? It'd be really nice for you to come and sort of join the lads and that sort of thing. And I'd never really done fishing before. It just wasn't a hobby I had when I was younger. I was anything with a motor on, and I'm there. I was never really into sort of fishing and that sort of thing. And to be honest, never really understood where people got the joy for it, because, again, it's just not been an interest of mine. The type of fishing we do is carp fishing. So the setup is you obviously get to the lake and you set your initial gear up. And then once you've chosen where you're going to fish, you have rod alarms. So you cast out, you put your rod down, and then when the alarm goes off, you know you've got a fish. So you're not sitting there constantly looking at things and being mindful of fishing. And I remember the first time I went with Adam, and we were frantically getting all our kit set up, and it was, right, got that sorted, now got to get the net sorted, get this... And then once we got to the point where everything was set up and we had all our gear ready, I sort of turned to Adam and I was like, right, what do we do next? And he just looked at me and said, nothing. And it was as if that, as soon as Adam said nothing, my brain turned around and said, right, okay, well, you don't need me, so I'm off. And I just got this huge sense of just calm and peace, because... there was just nothing else to think about. We were there for 24 hours. We'd set up all our gear. So that was all the responsibility and the action we needed to take. So very much, like I say, my head just cleared. And you can spend hours in nature just looking at the trees, looking at the lake, looking at the birds. And it just gives you, it slows everything down. You've got nothing to do for 24 hours other than fishing. And you're doing that.
It just
creates this space where you can just zone in with nature and actually feel what's really important rather than just thinking about everything the whole time. So I would say my love for fishing is just as much for the peace as anything else. And meeting fishermen on the bank at various times around various different lakes, I would say that 95% of fishermen are there for the peace and quiet and the clarity rather than the fishing they're doing. The fishing is just getting them to that space. And it's really quite interesting. And we do it regularly, and it's something that I do regularly now because I know I'm going to get 24 hours in nature, just relaxing and, getting some space and clarity between what's been going on the week before and work stuff and this, that and the other. And I find when you've got that pure peace and that clarity, it's really easy to make decisions. But when you're trying to do that in a work situation or a slightly more stressful situation, it's like there's so much going around your head. It's hard work. So I find we get many, many epiphanies when we're fishing around where we want to take the work that we do next. And perhaps in a moment, you just have some ideas. It's like downloading. And you want for a pen and a paper because all of a sudden you've gained that clear clarity and it's like, right, this is my next move. This is what I'm going to implement into my work next week. So, it's been amazing for me. So thank you to Adam for getting me into fishing.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. Maybe I should come out with you guys. Mind you,
you're more than welcome.
As long as I don't bring Hector.
he would love it as well. And one of the interesting things as well is the mindset of the fishermen. Adam and I often say, oh, we're going camping this weekend. And someone says, well, why are you taking all your fishing gear? And it's like, well, until I catch, I'm not fishing. So we say we're going camping because then there's no letdown. The amount of fishermen that you see them sitting on the bank, oh, you had a good session. Oh, well, it's been all right, but I haven't caught anything. So we say, well, we're going camping, and the moment we catch a fish, well, we're fishing. So there's no disappointment. If nothing else, you're going camping with your mate, you're going to get some peace and quiet, and hey-ho, you might catch some fish. So,
marvellous.
But I think it really helps you recharge. Where we're talking about the emotional bank account, this is what it is. It's about get out into nature. Allow those worries and everything to just seep away almost. And it's, gaining that clarity and bringing that joy in and filling it with the peace and the quiet and the clarity and filling up your emotional well.
I think the
more joy and peace you have, the more you're going to attract. So
I think for me, I'm very, very lucky. I live in a beautiful part of the world, in the New Forest. And for me, it was taking the dogs for a walk, Poppy and Jake's for a walk, and just, hitting nature. And as you said, very much, walking through the forest, any creature, from deers to bunny rabbits to squirrels to all sorts of different things would be around, and just walking and having that, for me, obviously the pace and the walking would clear your mind. And it was just, again, seeing those vistas and that, the beautiful heather and in the New Forest we have wild ponies and goats and donkeys all over the place, so it's just fantastic to be in nature again. And I think nature is one of the ways that we can definitely make huge deposits into our emotional bank account, which can sustain us when we're feeling stressed or in hurry worry. You know, if you work for corporations or if you're working for yourself or whatever work you're doing, you know, it just allows you to have more balance and be more authentically yourself, and gives you those resources. And it's when we feel that we lack resources that this is when we, you know, go into feeling fine, which is I can't say the first word, but it's a rude word, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So it's the F word, yeah. So it's the F word, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And it's very much a case of, you know, if you're feeling fine, you know, whenever you ask someone, how are you? And they turn around and they say, fine. It's usually through gritted teeth and going, fine, I'm fine. And you know they're completely and utterly stressed out. And, you know, you understand that people sometimes will be fine for, you know, 20 or 30 years. And you realise that, you know, it's not necessarily a good state to be in. And, you know, one of the myths that we tell ourselves is if you think enough positive thoughts, you will attract success. But that's not the truth. The reality is that each new level of success requires you to change your unconscious core beliefs. And this takes a very specific approach. And, you know, if we don't start actually putting good deposits in our emotional bank account, that's when, you know, things go pear-shaped. And it's really not a good scenario to be in. And so, you know, fishing sounds great to me, and I'm going to see if I can find one of my dad's old rods and come out with you at some stage. but also, there's many different things. We're not saying that everybody has to suddenly become a fisherman or take long walks in forests. What we're actually trying to say to you is find something that really makes you feel recharged. And do that hobby or that activity, whether that's going to the beach, whether it's surfing, whether it's scuba diving, whether it's, you know, it's using a microlight or flying. That's one of the things I enjoy. I always look at it. We'll see you after the break, on the other side of the break. Love so we'll enjoy the conversation again.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better.
At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
So we're back. And I was reading something earlier on today, which was basically talking about, are you motivated by vision or avoidance? You know, most of the time are motivated by a fear of failure. Avoidance of disaster or pain, etc. And the driving force creates a very different experience of life than being motivated by a powerful or compelling vision of what is possible. We push ourselves through life rather than being pulled when we are motivated by avoidance, rather than by inspiration and possibility. And this is very much, you know, when we are motivated by avoidance of pain, this is when we're keeping our emotional bank account in the red, rather than, you know, looking at being motivated by a vision which inspires us, which actually brings more deposits in rather than withdrawals. And it's really important, I think, you know, to realise that inspiration and possibility is so important. We look at things, and I know we were talking, was it last week or the week before, about the three impossible challenges that we took by walking on glass and breaking an arrow with our neck and also doing a firewalk, and realizing that those tasks, our conscious mind thought that those tasks were impossible, whereas what we did on that particular retreat was make sure that actually everybody realized, one, that they could do it, and two, that it was about mindset, that our conscious minds thought that it was impossible, but what we did was actually break those limiting beliefs and realizing that actually we could all do it with ease and grace. And those experiences were very much deposited into the black in our emotional bank accounts. And I know that each of us, since doing those three challenges, have seen amazing turnarounds in our thought forms and our ability to draw on those resources to change all sorts of different areas of our lives. So when you do something that inspires you, know that it's a really important resource that you can use and draw on, and your authentic self takes that and realizes that you are limitless. So just handing over to the boys again for their input. You know, Adam, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Especially sort of reading the stuff earlier, but you know, where is, are you making your decisions based out of fear or this, that, the other? And it is important to have those things, like the, you know, completing the impossible challenges. But on the same token, in some ways, it's the same as going fishing or doing something you love. It's having those deposits in your account that you can go back to and go, I can do this, or I can feel like that, you know. Because for me, I use music quite a lot, with a lot of the courses that we do and that. We play various songs and, you know, it almost links you back to that time. So if you're having a bit of a bad day or something, it's putting that music on and taking yourself back to that time when you was in absolute joy. You know, you've got family around you and everything's great, and it's having those deposits in there to be able to, when you are thinking a bit negative or this, that, the other, use them to actually pull yourself out of it and, you know, realise that anything is, or things we think are impossible aren't. And it's, you know, you start to doubt yourself and this, that, the other. Yeah, however, I've done the impossible 3 times in one night. And it's that, like, real strong evidence that you can't argue with. You just take yourself back and, yeah, no, I can do it.
Yeah, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I think, you know, for me, you know, the more fun and pleasure you can have, you know, to live from your vision and possibilities, you know, is so more effective than anything else. As you're saying, you know, you cannot, when you have those experiences, it's like, you know, for heaven's sake, make sure that you take a mental picture and also just remember how you feel. You know, for me, again, at Acorn to Oak, we, you know, I've been exposed to a plethora of different incredible experiences where, you know, we've been chanting in the White Caves near Glastonbury, and the whole place erupted as we chanted and were toning, and it just standing there and being part of that experience was, you know, like huge drafts of amazing water being poured into a thirsty soul. It was just stunning. And coming out and having a whole bunch of people just thanking us for doing it. And, you know, the pleasure was totally ours. You know, we were just having such a joyous time in there. And to have people thank us for doing it was just, it was like the icing on the cake. And, you know, those types of experiences for me just keep on putting more and more and more deposits into my emotional bank account, which sustains my whole life. You know, it's what inspires me, and it's what actually allows me to be the guide that I am for other people. And, you know, again, you know, it's finding those things in our, in everybody's life who's listening to this and just going, wow, what can I do to inspire myself? Because if I can inspire myself, then I can take this to the rest of humanity and help them gain these experiences also. So, you know me, I can get on my soapbox, you know, like there's no tomorrow. So, Matthew, have you got anything that you'd like to add to that?
I think when I started, obviously when I read the copy for the show, I did some reflection, and I use reflective practice a lot in my life, and it's really good for the processes, what was good about our situation, what was not so good about a situation, what would you do differently next time, and what's the lesson and learning. And it just really helps you look into any part of your life or any situation that's going on and gain that clarity for yourself. And I think what I did when I was reflecting is it's going back to the childhood innocence, when your imagination could run wild. And you didn't have the emotional baggage that you have as an adult. It is that purity almost. You're either ecstatically happy and in your imagination and passions running wild, or perhaps you're in fear, which is generally when children cry, whether they may be hungry, or so you're either one or the other. But as you grow older, you get told certain things, and we have certain goals and things that we would like to achieve, and sometimes they don't always necessarily work out. And it's every time something like that does happen in your life. So it could be early childhood. It could even be working your way through school. You're working out what you would like to be. And generally, you're not thinking about what you would love to be. You're thinking about what's realistic for you right here, right now. And this could be, and this is things we're basing things on, grades and intelligence and that sort of thing. Whereas if someone has a love for a subject, no matter what it is, they're going to excel more than someone that has a greater level of intelligence anyway, because the passion's flowing. So automatically at school, you have your dream job, and more often than not, people give up on that dream job because they think, well, I can't do my dream job. So you change your behaviour and you change your thought forms. And like we're talking about the emotional bank account, it's putting a negative deposit into your bank account. And then you may, obviously, in the later teens, you focus and think, right, okay, well, yeah, a lawyer is what I would like to be. So then you spend years and years at uni studying. And for a lot of people I knew that went to uni, they had dreams of the £100,000 job at the end of it. And it just didn't work out like that. So now this is a second dream. Their secondary dream hasn't worked out how they'd like. So there's another deposit of my dreams won't work out. And again, every little situation that happens in our life, we either respond positively or negatively. And when you really start digging in, you realise just how many negative sort of affirmations we have. Some are of our own. That's what we perceive to be true within our own lives. And other things can be what other people have told us, like parents, teachers, that sort of thing. So it's really choosing a subject and looking into it. What I've been doing at the moment is finances. So again, when you choose to work on something specifically, it's like the universe will take the opportunity and give you every bit of evidence you need to work through it. And some people see these as negative experiences. Oh, well, I'm getting shown this in my life. Well, it's for a reason, and it may not mean that you're doing that behavior, but it's just to show you and give you some information to allow you to grow. So where I've been working on finances, it's some of the thought forms and the affirmations I would tell myself around money go back to childhood. And it could be around everyone around you has a lot of money and a lot of wealth. So there's part of you that just says, well, I know I'm going to be rich when I'm older. But then you can also have a contradicting one where you've had a negative experience around money that will tell you that, well, no, everybody else has got money, but I've never had it. So it's real interesting when you look into it, just how many negative deposits we can make, just because, let's all be real honest and get real here. We're not living in an ideal world. I've never met a perfect person that's turned around and said, I've had the perfect life. We all assume that it's always better and it's okay for everybody else because somehow we see ourselves as having a worse experience. But actually, everything's relative to your own life. So cancer for one person could be not as bad as child abuse for somebody else. And you may disagree and think it's the other way around. However, if you ask two people, everything's relative within your own life. So everyone's bad stuff is as bad as anybody else's. And so it's taking responsibility for our staff around it. We're the only ones that can start changing our bank account and dealing with some of those negative thought forms, some of those emotions, because more often than not, where you find a negative thought form, there's emotions attached to them. Because at that moment, what were you feeling when you had that negative experience? Or what were you feeling when you had that positive experience? So delving in and looking, and we're very lucky that we use Breath for Life breath work, which helps clear out the emotional stuff very, very quickly. And I've had a lot of clients come back and say, God, stuff is really, really coming up at the moment. And it's that when you take responsibility for your stuff or to change something, rather than just think, oh, well, I'll just get on and something will happen and then that'll make me feel better and I'll be able to cope. And it's saying, no, come on, let's get real in the moment. Something has to change. And very much like we are as a global race at the moment, climate change. There's serious issues which we have to address now. Otherwise, future generations are going to have a lot harder time. And it's about taking that responsibility and doing your work and owning your shadows and flipping it. Everything can be flipped around. And it always starts, usually starts in the mind. My best advice would be pick a certain subject and delve in, but be real honest with yourself around something. We're very empathetic at Acorn to Oak, but it's just as important to be firm as it is to be fair. So when you're reflecting and you're looking at a certain situation, you'll have some thought forms come up around, oh, well, this always happens because somebody else comes and takes it from me, or this always happens because when someone else does this, it makes me do that. And it's looking into that and going, there's a situation that's coming up which keeps coming up for you. So there's something you need to learn here. And it's not about the other person. It's about you. And it's taking the responsibility and saying, well, right here, right now, I can't see why that keeps happening to me. However, I'm going to look into it and review it. So, and it's not about beating yourself up, but it's about being realistic. So sympathy is not... I try as little as possible to be sympathetic, because when you're being sympathetic with a person, you're actually taking away their power. You're assuming that they're weak and there's something you can do for them. Now, obviously, if you see someone fall over in the street, you're not just going to leave them to it.
Ignore them.
we'll carry this on after the break. So, look forward to speaking to you after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, so we're back, and you know, Matthew was talking just before the break, and it's important really to acknowledge that it takes courage to tell yourself the truth about what you really want and to truly live from your vision, choosing what to believe in and what is possible. In the end, you get to decide each day and every moment what kind of life that you're going to live. You know, you're either constantly presented with a choice between fear and love. And choosing the love, obviously, is when you make real big deposits into the black part of your bank account. And if you're choosing to live from fear, which of course is false evidence appearing real, then that's when huge amounts of withdrawals happen and you're living in the red. So, again, wanting to hand back to Matthew and Adam to get their take on that a little bit more. So I know Matthew was cut off in his prime there. He was just talking about getting passionate, you know, getting on that box. So by all means, get back on that box and finish it off.
Yeah, so just to round up where I started, it's you'd never ignore someone if they fell over on the street and hurt themselves. But very much when we're talking with emotions and mind work, so limiting beliefs and that sort of thing, you've kind of got to be brutal with self, because we're all aware of ego, and there's a part of, I openly use my experience, so there's been a part of me over the years that has put myself before others in a negative way. And it's being honest about that and saying, actually, there was a time in my life when I didn't really care about anybody else but myself. And that can be a huge thing that a lot of people are going through, because life can sometimes feel personal. It can feel as though you're having a bum deal and everyone else seems to get what they want and you don't. So then you naturally form a behaviour around, well, if that's true, why should I care about anybody else? And as again, going global on this, how do you think we got in this mess? How do you think things got this bad? Where we have 1% of the people on the planet hold all the money, and we've still got people starving. We'll spend billions on going to space, yet we won't solve poverty. It's because we've all got a little bit greedy, and it's taking yourself lightly and going, well, yeah, actually I'm responsible for doing that sort of behavior, but at the same time I'm not going to whip myself for it. It's just the important thing is to get the learning around it and realize it, because once you become aware of that realization, that's when you can change it. And if we all do that, then the world would be a very different place. And like, very much like Penny said, sometimes it's not nice looking into these things, because you'll discover things about yourself that you don't like. However, behaviour is just behaviour, and it's learnt, and it means nothing about you, who you are. We're all very genuine, caring people at heart. However, some of our behaviours are, quite frankly, outrageous. And it's one thing that helps doing the work that I do. A lot of people look at people with bad behaviours and just go, oh, well, they were just born bad, or they make that person wrong. That person doesn't want to be bad. They're no different from who you are. But they've had a different experience that's led them to do some seriously outrageous behaviour. And it doesn't make it all right, but it's going through it and taking the responsibility, and that's when you can make the change. is when you take the responsibility and tell yourself the truth. Because, you know, it is just what it is. Like I say, it's not who you are. It's just behaviours that you've formed. So my biggest advice is be kind with self, but also be firm, because that's where the change comes, when you use what we would call tact, which is telling yourself the absolute complete truth. So it's not just, oh, well, people walk over me the whole time and they always get what they want and I don't. That may seem true to you, but what part of you is allowing that to happen? Because that's the only thing that will change the situation. And once you realise that, you can change it and say, okay, well, I'm going to make a new decision. I'm not going to allow people to walk all over me anymore. And bang, your life will change. You can make a new empowering decision. And the other word we use is tact. So it's taking, which is taking absolute complete responsibility and saying, you know, I've done that behaviour and I'm not proud of that. However, we always use the term, an apology doesn't cut it, but a change in behaviour does. Be that firm with yourself, because that's where the change will come. So that's just rounding off for me. So Adam, have you got anything you'd like to add to that? Any of that resonated with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of lots of good bits in there from, you know, thinking about what you tell yourself, you know, the positive and the negative and that sort of things, you know, what deposits we're making. And it got me thinking, and it's just like, well, you can almost look at it as a set of scales, you know, whether it's a thought or an emotion or an experience. It's like, right, okay, so how many good experiences have I got and how many bad have I got? But then, you know, very much with you talking about sort of some of the work that we do using Breath of Life and other stuff. And when you do start to use the tools of tact and tar and that sort of thing, and, you know, personally for me, it's something I've seen right the way through. It's, you know, all these bad behaviours, all these bad things, all these bad situations, they've happened for a reason. There's, you know, there's been that something that you need to see and you need to learn to be able to move forward. So you may have done some real bad behaviour and you're not proud of yourself and this, that, the other. But when you look at it from an honest point of view and from a real point of view, you then work out, okay, well, I was doing that because of that and because of that. And then you make one small change and you don't do that behaviour anymore. And you've got some great realisations as to why you used to behave in the way you did. It may have been linked, like say, with an emotion. So, oh, well, every time I get scared, I don't feel comfortable feeling that, so I just get angry. But you wouldn't know that unless you'd done that behaviour to then actually notice a pattern when taking an honest look at self to go, right, so what is that all about? And then in the future, you recognise it and it's like, oh, in the past, I used to just go and flip straight into that. Whereas now, the more you deposit into your bank account, the more time and space you have to go, no, actually, I'm just going to take a breath, make an informed decision, and then go from there, you know.
I think you've both really nailed an awful lot of things on the head there. And it's, you know, it's when we actually take life too personally. We take life sometimes when something happens to us, we think it's a personal thing, whereas in fact it's just a situation or a challenge that has come up to help us grow in some way. And yeah, it's really really difficult sometimes not to take life personally, but it's not a personal thing. It's just a whole set of situations and things that have come up so that we can either react or decide not to react. And actually, you know, it is the reaction to something that it is where the energy is at. And, you know, we sometimes react and go into, you know, self deprivation and therefore limiting the resources that we allow ourselves to have at that time. And, you know, when a problem comes up, there is always a solution. always a solution. It's just we may not have the deposits in the emotional bank account to help us gain the clarity that we need in order, who do I want to be? How do I want to be in the world? And if you get stuck, you know, just imagining to yourself, if I had a magic wand, what would I create? What could I create in my life? And in doing that type of inner work, you are depositing into the black part of your black account. Because you're beginning to invest in self. You're beginning to start to look at the width and the height and the breadth of who you are in totality. And therefore, you're aligning yourself with your authentic self, your higher self. And, you know, if you, again, another great question, if you had no limits to time and money, what would you create? What would you like to look at? You know, if you're thinking of different areas in your life, including romance and friends, family, money, career, contributions, spirituality, personal growth, health, fun, recreation, you know, possessions, toys, because we all like our toys, and I'm on a radio show with two boys, so they like their toys. And they're obviously fishing rods. environment, etc. You know, what is it that what areas can you really start putting great deposits into your bank account around? And, you know, for me, you've heard me, you know, I'm a bit of a divine nutter on occasions. I love going out and having spiritual experiences and really good energetic experiences. And, you know, I've built a company around that, which is Acorn to Oak, and when we go on retreat and do mad stuff and go to Stonehenge and be with the Druids, and, you know, it's wonderful. And all of that, you know, brings in huge amounts of deposits for me in my own emotional bank account. And it's just playing. You know, this is one of the things that Matthew was talking about a little bit earlier on. You know, it's playing. It's just looking at it and going back into that childlike state where, you know, your imagination is free, and, you know, you can spend a huge amount of time just playing with a plank of wood or a fishing line or whatever you would like, you know, painting or drawing or dancing or singing or whatever it is. And, you know, all of those types of things are making those great deposits into your bank account. So just handing back to the guys, is there anything else you would like to add to that? Because we're coming up to the top of the hour. So anything you guys would like to say?
Yeah, I'll try and keep this as quick as I can. So it's just reviewing what we've been talking about. There's so much we need to get you to realize that you control everything in your life. I was watching a program, Heal, the other day, and what really struck a chord was if a doctor in a white coat or someone who you saw as authority told you that you were going to... you had a disease and it was going to kill you, the chances are, if you believed them, it would. If you didn't believe them, it wouldn't. And we all know about the placebo effect. You can give someone a placebo and tell them they're going to get better and they will. And you can give someone the real drug and tell them they're not going to get better and they won't. And it just shows the only difference between the two situations is you and what you believe to happen. Be true and happen. So question all of the beliefs. Get out and find your happy, quiet place, wherever it is. So for me, it's by a lake fishing. For Penny, it's at the coast, breathing in that salt air. find a place where you can slow things down and get into your heart, as we would call it, and just start to review where things aren't necessarily working in your life and what are the beliefs around that. If you need any help with coaching and that sort of thing, obviously all the details are on the website. Get in touch with us, but do it for yourself. Make the change.
So great to spend the time with you.
Yep.
Thank you for Adam for joining us.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah.
You
great.
Take
very
care.
Good. See you all next week.
And we'll see you next week. Take care.
Take care. Bye. Bye.